Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. I hardly know where to begin. I've sent out notices to the network and told them that we were going to talk about spiritual contracts. And that's almost all subjects I talk about are a touchy subject because I always get into the controversial nature of the matter, because that's the problem, is that people do not want to know the whole truth. They don't want to find the part of the truth that hurts, that causes them pain. Because that part of the truth is the reason they fled the garden. It's the reason Adam and Eve left the garden. God drove them out with the truth. They were hiding in the garden from the fact that they had done wrong. They had acted foolishly. They had been stupid. They had gone the wrong way. They were naked. They did not have the answer themselves. And they were hiding from that fact. And when God caught them, they blamed it on God. It's not my fault. The woman you gave me the fruit to eat. Tempted me to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now that's a whole series in itself, what exactly how she did that. I mean, they don't really tell you. They just give you a few lines and words and stuff like that, trying to make a long story short. And most people miss it. But that's where you're at right now. You don't want to know the truth. Now, you may want to know some of the truth, but do you want to know the whole truth and provide for it? According to the great words of that prophet and statesman, Paul Revere, who did get lost that night. He did get lost. He didn't actually warn them that the British are coming, because he got lost. Somebody else did most of that. But Paul Revere's name fit into the rhyme, so he gets the fame. And he did try. He did show up. And he did try to spread the message. They didn't rely on one guy on horseback. But today, people rely on one man. They think, oh, I'll get this president in, I'll get that president in, and things will change. Well, things will change, but that is not the moving force. The moving force is the people. So, there's a lot of things that are wrong in society today, that are going wrong in society today, that are causing society to take some major wrong turns, and have been for quite some time. And I sent out a post. Called Divide. It was a page that I created called Divide, and it had a lot of statistics in it about the black communities and Black Lives Matter, and has a little poster there, Clone Lives Matter, because to say Black Lives Matter is clearly a racist statement. Anybody who's going around promoting that, and actually they get upset if you say Lives Matter. They don't want just say lives matter. It's Black Lives Matter. Well, that's racist. That's putting somebody's life ahead of somebody else's. Because the truth is, lives matter. But the truth also is that most of the people that are promoting that are socialists. That's a socialist movement that is out there saying Black Lives Matter. And socialism is a prejudiced concept, because it's saying that somebody has the right to force somebody else to provide for what they think should be provided for. I mean, socialism is a system of forced contributions. Redistribution of wealth, they call it. It's not a system of charity. It's a system of forced contributions, where they think that somebody should not have the right to decide how they divide their labor. And they have divided a nation with that idea. So, you know, the rich and the poor are at odds with each other. They don't care about each other. The poor don't care about the rich, and the rich certainly are caring less and less about the poor. Used to be in America, we were the most philanthropic nation in the world. And some of the seeds to that are still there, but people don't know how to give. They don't know how to give wisely. They don't know who to give to. You know, they give to churches where the leaders are extremely, the leaders of the church are extremely wealthy, living in million-dollar mansions or sitting on golden thrones. And they give to those churches. Somebody the other day, in talking about a different pastor for a church, they said, how about so-and-so? And somebody says, well, he's a feel-good pastor. And they said, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with feeling good? I like feeling good. And it crossed my mind when I heard that. So it says in the Bible that God gave his only begotten son so that the whole world might feel good. No, that isn't it. It's so that they might be saved. Might be saved. You're going to have to see the truth about what it is you actually have to repent of in order to be saved. If you're not going to be willing to hear the truth about what it is that you need to see, you can kind of figure on not being saved. You're not going to be saved. And unfortunately, millions of people are going to die. Probably violently. With great suffering, weeping, gnashing of teeth. That's just the way it's going to be. And the changes that are going to bring that about are going to happen suddenly. But everybody's going to say, oh, well, I didn't see that coming. Well, that's because you live by the knowledge of good and evil. You eat of the tree of good and evil. You're smart. You know, got a good job. You're an engineer. You're a lawyer. Maybe you work in a factory, whatever. You got a pension. Maybe you're a government employee. Things are pretty good. And you're comfortable. You feel good. You know, maybe you see something's coming and you're preparing, but, you know, you're preparing for you and your family and those that love you. Well, you're not going to have any grace. And it's by grace that you will be saved. Even in hard times, it's by grace that you will be saved. Especially when the times are really hard. And then you take it back to the story of the Garden of Eden, and you have this serpent, this which actually is very interesting, the word for serpent and all this kind of stuff, that if you understand the pictorial nature of the Hebrew language, the serpent is also naked, without authority, without dominion. And he is trying to seduce mankind away from his dominion. So that man will come out of favor with God, and God will not be there to protect man. That's his plot. That's his plan. Because he wants the planet. He wants dominion over this planet. And if you're gone, he's got it by default. This is what's at stake here right now in this realm. He wants dominion in this realm. in all realms. And he gets it pretty regular. And that's why you see all hell breaking loose in many parts of the world. And there's seemingly very little that you can do about it. And many of you are trying to do something about it and preparing. But it's you have no idea how bad things can get with such a weak society. I mean, you see Europe being invaded by an army of immigrants migrating across the land, coming in by the thousands, tens of thousands. Crime rates are skyrocketing. Norway, the hundreds of percentage points in crime. They did deport everybody who had a criminal record that were these immigrants, but a lot of them are coming back in anyway. But crime went down 800% when they did that. Just deporting the criminal immigrants, you know, immigrants that have gotten into criminal problems where they have been caught doing something or whatever, by deporting them, the crime rate just plummeted. Now, does that mean all immigrants and all these refugees are criminals? Obviously not. But there's a criminal element there that's coming in. Why were the countries like Germany and everything opening their borders to all these, was it compassion? Or is the government really that compassionate? Well, they need them. They've needed them for years. They've been taking them in by the tens of thousands, even millions, you know, for years. Why? Birth rates too low in Europe to sustain it. They cannot sustain their social welfare systems with a 1.3 birth rate or even lower birth rate. You can't do it. The workers aren't coming up. You're not going to be able to expand your economy. You need workers. It's not a matter of not being willing to do the work. It's a matter of the fact they ain't there to do the work. With a 1.3 birth rate, how is your society going to grow to the point of taking care of the elderly of your society? It's just not going to happen. It's just math. So they need to bring in immigrants because the birth rate is low. Why can't they have babies in Germany? Germans used to have big families. They don't anymore. Why? Socialism. You don't need a big family. No, there's no need for a big family in your mind. Because it costs money and it's a lot of trouble. And both husband and wife are working in your prosperous economy. You've liberated your wife. She doesn't have to be in the home. She has to go to work. You know, like one politician talking about, I didn't want to sit home and bake cookies. Is that what a mother is? A cookie baker? We have this distorted view, and these people say this, and you don't even notice. It's crazy. It's insane. It was probably the most important job you could get was a homemaker. You had the responsibility of raising the next generation. You were the primary caregiver of the family. And somehow that became a demeaning job. You know, beneath you. Are you kidding? It's insane. Where do these ideas come from? Well, the socialism is a breeding ground for such ideas. And if you send your kids to public school, you're a socialist. You believe that it's okay to force your neighbor at threat of taking away his home, his castle, if he does not pay for your child's education. You believe that. That's why you send your kids to public education. You believe that that is good. And then so once that's good, then it's also good to have force your neighbor to take care of your parents. You know, Social Security. And And then there's health care. And that's okay too, because it's the same thing. You can't see it. That this is spitting in the face of Christ. When you do this, you've turned your back on Christianity, real Christianity, not the fake stuff that you see down at the local church where you go to feel good. You know, and then you have all the self-righteous people who aren't a part of that church. They got their own church. And what are they going to do? They're going to put all kinds of, you know, trappings on their religion. Oh, you gotta wear this clothes because, you know, thousands of years ago they wore this clothes like a prayer shawl or you know, you have to dress this way. You have to have your hair that way. You know, the whole idea of, you know, braiding the hair and everything, braiding the beard, trimming the corners of the beard, all had to do with separating yourself out from the rest of society so that you would be different, better than them. It was division. It's satanic. You know, we got our calendar. We got our way. We read the Bible and figured it out that we should do it this way. And those people over there, they do it that way. You know, calendars? Calendars are for people who don't know what time it is. If you're living by the Holy Spirit, you don't need no stinking calendar. You don't even need it. But you probably do need a calendar, and so you should get together with other people of the Spirit of Christ. Christ never even hardly talked about anything that had to do with, even remotely had to do with a calendar, yet that was a big issue at the time. So it wasn't important to him. He knew what time it was. He knew when he was going to have to do this, that, or the other thing. So if these things are even slightly important to you, you are being seduced by the dark side. What is important? How do you find salvation? It's not an intellectual journey. You are going to have to go into your mind and see things that are in your mind. But it's not an intellectual journey. It's a spiritual journey. And so, you know, like, I write books, and people read the books, like Covenants of the Gods, first one I wrote. It tells you in the book that there's no solution in the book. We're just talking about evidence of the problem. And the evidence is that you have gone back into bondage worse than that of Egypt. You're aborting your children just like they did in Egypt. Because of economic constraints, just like they did in Egypt. You're weak as a society. And you're getting weaker and weaker. And your government is beginning to fail you. It's cutting off your benefits. Or not increasing, you know, no cost of living increase this year. Well, wait till you have runaway inflation and they're 3 years behind on that. Where all your money is going for food. Or you can wait till there isn't any food to even buy in the stores. And they're rationing food. And you can't have a ration stamp to get food in any store anywhere. Unless you have a Social Security number. Because you got to have the number to get food. Gasoline. Electricity. Well, you say, oh boy, I better get my solar in right away so that I'll be safe. When there's no electricity and you're the only one on their block with solar, guess who's coming to your house? There is no place that you will be safe unless you return to the Tree of Life. The Holy Spirit, and walk with that. You got your mind full. See, that's one of the reasons I don't usually talk about all the bad things that are coming. And I mean, I haven't really talked about them. I made kind of a reference to the fact that billions of people are going to die. But billions of people are going to die even if there isn't a bad thing. There's going to be some bad things where they're going to die in rapid succession. Everybody's going to face death one way or the other. But people start moving from fear. There's nothing to be afraid of. You know what you need to do? What 1 Thessalonians 4:11 says? and that ye study to be quiet. Fear is doesn't quiet. I remember seeing. I've been in lots of situations where there's panic and pandemonium, and you know, fires and all kinds of different things that have happened over the years. And people get all worked up and they're excited and they're running around screaming. I get calmer and calmer in those situations. You know, I mean, it's just like I just get relaxed in those situations. And sometimes I'll move real fast and everything, but I'm actually very calm, very focused, very centered. And it's just the way I'm built. I don't know. This is the way I've been. I remember watching a video. Had family members, distant family members that were on the highway, and a truck caught on fire, and it was pulling a trailer full of horses. And there's this billowing black smoke coming out from underneath the hood and everything. And they weren't going to drive the car, so the truck was parked there, and people were going to the back to try to let out the horses out of the trailer in case the fire spread to the trailer. Somebody was thinking. Other people were calling. There was a fire truck that came by. It was a state rig, and they couldn't get their pump started, and they couldn't put out the fire, and people were screaming and running and yelling, run, and people were running down the road. There was one guy that was, he was like a half mile, like occasionally the video camera would pan over to the guy, and he was, you know, quarter mile away, and then it would go back to the fire, and then it would pan back down the road, and now he's a half a mile away, and then they pan back. I mean, he's like, he was becoming a dot on the horizon. He just kept running. I don't know if he thought there was a nuclear bomb in that truck, but he was getting out of there. And you could hear the panic in people's voices and everything. And an old guy came by with a dilapidated tow truck. He came out of Paisley. And, I mean, this is like 50s truck. And he gets out, and he's kind of limping very casually in these overalls. And he just kind of walks over with a fire extinguisher and steps in front of the truck with the hood up. And there's just billowing black smoke. And he lifts up his fire extinguisher and poof, fire goes out. He stands there just casually looking at it. All of a sudden, flames pop up again and it starts to, and he pulls the extinguisher up, poof, goes out again. I think he did it about 3 times. And then he just slowly, after he watched it a lot, walked back and put his fire extinguisher away and pulled his truck around to tow everybody back in. He was so calm, so in control, and everybody else was running around in panic. It's just a little fire. It's just amazing. State was absolutely useless. Huge, tens of thousands of dollars, probably $50,000 truck, couldn't do a thing. One old guy saved the day. Who's going to save your day? We're going to talk about how to save your day when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind, and the Lord raiseth them up that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. This is Psalms 146:8. God's love opens your eyes. It takes the scales off your eyes. But in order to receive God's love, you must be willing to see. But if you think you see already, then Christ talks about you will be made blind. This is part of the teachings that Christ gave us. Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." Well, he's talking about those who think they already know. And so what we're doing in these series is trying to show you what Christ was trying to help people see. And Peter would say the same thing, that through covetousness, that you would be made merchandise. You would curse your children. You would go back and become entangled in the elements of the world. That is the cause. When we talk about contracts in the world and of the world, we're simply talking about systems and agreements where you can actually see the evidence of the fact that you're already in agreement with ideas like one purse, like eating at the table of kings, benefactors who exercise authority. And they're not really benefactors. They only give you what they take away from others. These are the fathers of the earth. These are the terminologies. And we show you the history. We show you how this applied back then. We show you how it applied throughout the ages. We show you how it applied in our times today. But it is absolutely essential that you change what you are in agreement with. That's repentance. You're in agreement with the idea that it's okay to covet. It's okay to desire what belongs to your neighbor for your personal benefit. And it's okay not to forgive. Christ's love will open your eyes, but it also will be like hot coals upon the head of those who do not want to see. They will hate it. If Christ is in you, if you're coming in the name of Christ, you need to be coming with a desire to serve, to forgive, to be a righteous individual. That is your desire. And you need to act, not just say, Lord, Lord, but actually become a doer of that word. And then His love can bless you, His grace. If you only love those who love you, if you only love those who help you, care about you, that are close to you, what grace have you? This is what it says. I want you to keep that in mind. Do not get carried away with contracts and jurisdictions and laws, etc. Keep in mind that this is about coming into agreement with Christ. And join the network. Find other people seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That daily ministration based on faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. A government that does not exercise authority but exercises love and charity and hope. And until then, peace on your house and may God be with you. Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. So I said, I quoted from 1 Thessalonians 4:11, and that ye study to be quiet, and do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you. Well, whose hands would they work for? With? I mean, what's he talking about there? Well, Rome had become a socialist state. It was doomed as soon as it did that, as all socialist states are doomed as soon as they do that. But that hasn't seemed to stop anybody, because people everywhere in the world have done that. And that's how you've become entangled again in the yoke of bondage, is because you were willing to enslave your neighbor so that you could have free education, so that you could have a fire department, so that, I mean, they actually put a fire department in a local community north of us. We have only a volunteer fire department, but they put one up there, and they expanded this huge fire district. And why? Because they wanted money to build a community center, and they couldn't get the money to do it, but they said, well, let's create a fire district. We'll tax everybody, we'll get that money, we'll build a big, huge building to put our fire trucks in, and we'll use that building as a community center. And of course, they do that. They have a kitchen in there, and they have their big parties in there, and meetings and all that stuff. And they forced everybody to pay for it, and they really like it. They think it's cool. It doesn't seem to bother them that they have spit in the face of Christ by doing that. By coveting their neighbor's goods, they've lost eternal life. Because Christ said, when they asked him, what must I do to obtain eternal life? He says, thou knowest the commandments, keep them. I mentioned that to a preacher once. He says, oh yeah, but Jesus said that before the crucifixion. Now that he was crucified, we're just saved because we believe. Even though Jesus said, not those who say, Lord, Lord, but those who doeth the will of the Father. That doesn't count anymore because the crucifixion said that all you have to do is believe in Jesus and you're saved. What a satanic gospel that is. It is true. See, that's what's so satanic about it. All you have to do is believe in Jesus and you will be saved. That's absolutely true. But you have to believe in the real Jesus. And the real Jesus said, not those who say, Lord, Lord, but those who do it the will of the Father. What must you do for eternal life? Thou knowest the commandments, keep them. If you're not keeping the commandments, that's evidence you don't believe in Jesus. So if you think it's okay to force your neighbor to pay for your fire station, you don't believe in Jesus. So you got to pay some preacher who keeps telling you you're saved in order to feel good about the fact that you actually covet your neighbor's goods through the agency of men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. You've abandoned Christ and you have no lawful right to enter into the kingdom of God. You have come into agreement with Satan, the adversaries of Christ. You're not in agreement with Christ, because Christ said you were to love your neighbor, not covet his goods. You think it's okay. I mean, it's a fire department, for God's sake. That's a great idea. It can save lives. And lives matter. So let's, the means by which we do it evidently is irrelevant. Because you think the end justifies the means. That's a Roman statement. You're a Roman. You're not a Christian. You war against Christ. Now, if what I'm saying is true, man, there's a lot of repenting that needs to go on. Until you have a social welfare system in a society that takes care of the needy through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty, that is evidence that you do not believe in Jesus. You don't believe in Moses because that's what Moses was doing. You probably don't believe in Abraham because that's what he was doing. That's why he was leaving Ur. And that's why he left Haran, because those systems destroy the soul. But you can't even go back to such a system unless you take a spiritual journey within and admit, oh my gosh, I have need of repentance. Ezra 7:24. Also, we certify you that touching any of the priests and the Levites and the singers, and by the way, the singers, that isn't somebody who reads music. That's somebody else. Just like porters. Porters, that means gatekeeper. The Nethinims, or ministers of this house of God. It shall not be lawful to impose toll, tribute, or custom upon them. That's still the law today. But unfortunately, many of the people that you call priests, ministers, pastors, those are the pastors that they refer to in the Bible as brutes. Because see, when they retire, they're going to force their neighbors to pay into an insolvent system so that they can collect a check every month. Because their security is not Christ. Their security is provided to them by men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. While the instructions of Christ were, it was not to be that way with you. It is that way with them. They've abandoned Christ. Now you know what you have to repent of. But let's take this farther, because we wanted to talk about social and spiritual contracts. Isaiah 49:24. Let's read that. Shall they pray? Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? What's a lawful captive? Somebody who's been captured by law. The lawful captive. Shall the lawful captive be delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Because see, right now your children are cursed. Peter told you they would be when you were again entangled in the elements of the world, meaning the organized systems of men, where you have contracted into those systems to get benefits at the expense of your neighbor, and now you've been re-entangled again in the elements of the world, back in the bondage of Egypt. And that's why I wrote the book, to let you know that's where you're at. But that knowing that isn't going to get you out of that. It isn't going to get it so that God will contend for you against those that are your lawful captives. Captivators, that they have lawfully captured you because you agreed with them. You're in bondage. Peter said they would make merchandise of you. They would have, in Revelations, they would have a full stock of souls and slaves. And they do. And why are you merchandise? Why are you in bondage? Why are you back in Egypt? Egypt, you only had to pay 20% of what you produced each year to the government. It's worse today. Yeah, I mean, you don't have any gold and silver. I mean, some of you have legal title to it, but you don't have lawful title to it. You don't own your land. You don't own yourselves. You don't own your children. They can force vaccinate your children. The reason they can take your guns away is you don't own them. You only have a legal title, and legal title, by definition, right out of Black's Law Dictionary, legal title does not include the beneficial interest. It is not the true owner of the property. If you've been numbered, you don't own anything. You don't own your labor, so therefore when you work and you earn these supposed notes and buy stuff with them, you don't own it. You don't have the capacity to own anything. You only have legal title. That's not a true and actual title. That's an apparent title. It appears to be a title, but it carries with it no beneficial interest. That's the definition of it. You don't, this seems so foreign to people that they think, like, what does that have to do with Jesus Christ? He came to set you free, right? Now, when all you hear Paul talking about us and we this and we are that and we are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not talking about you. He's talking about a vast network of people that were taking care of one another during depressions, during food shortages, during invasion, during tyrannical regimes. They were taking care of one another. He could travel from one end to the other of the Roman Empire and provide for the needy of society because he was one of those priests, Levites, singers, porters, Nethinims, or ministers of the house of God. They were actually taking care of the social welfare in a daily ministration across borders, in local communities, everywhere. Your church doesn't do that. 99% of all the benefits that people receive in your church come from governments who exercise authority completely contrary to what Christ instructed you to do. But you feel good. So destruction is coming to you because you're in contract with these benefactors to exercise authority. They hold you as a surety. How many quotes? You go to preparingyou.com. Look up the word surety. Just look it up. Look up. We're putting more and more stuff. We had over almost 2 million visitors last year have come to the website. But that's not going to help you one bit. I don't care if it's 100 million visitors come to the website. Are you coming together and forming a daily ministration? You're done for. You're going to be annihilated. And God can't defend you because you're the lawful captive of that system. You are a surety for debt. Your children are cursed. Why were your children cursed? Because of your covetous practices. That's what it says in the Bible, in the New Testament. Your covetous practices. You desire benefits at the expense of your neighbor. Public school, public health, fire departments, whatever. Social Security for your parents. So you don't have to, you can just put them in a home and, hey, you know, they got that Social Security check and with their pension, you got your parents taken care of. You can go watch the ball game. You can go have a beer with your buddies. You don't have to worry about your parents. You know, the government will take care of them. You don't have to do aught for your parents. Because you got the Corbin of the Pharisees. You've abandoned Christ. You don't believe in Christ. You don't believe in Jesus. You're not saved. You didn't want to hear that? You wanted to think you're saved because of what you thought? That's, you're up in the tree of knowledge thinking I'm saved from the flood that's coming. Isaiah 49:24, shall the prey be taken from the mighty, the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away from them. And the prey of the terrible shall be delivered from them. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Is he talking to you? You have to repent and become one of the Lord's. There are courts in heaven. Now, I don't know how many people that are listening today listen to the audio that I sent. I know you're all so busy. You should be as busy as me. You should be studying to be quiet so that you could hear this message and then get up and do your own business, which includes pure religion and forming a daily ministration. You should be in congregations that know each other and are connected across the country and worldwide, that actually care about one another. They come together in a meeting. They find out, okay, we're in a congregation here. We're all together today. Does anybody need any help? Does anybody have any shortfalls? Oh, no, nobody. Everybody's okay. I'm still going to stick my hand in my pocket. And I'm going to give 10% of everything I earned since I last met you with this congregation to my minister. And I want him to, because he's so well connected with 9 other ministers like himself, he's going to be able to call up his minister, and his minister will know where those funds need to go in order to take care of the daily ministration of a network of thousands of people. You ain't got that? That ain't happening with you guys? Well, then you ain't saved. If you ain't working towards that, which is the kingdom of God, that's how the kingdom of God works. It's the way it worked with Abraham. It's the way it worked with Moses. So now, we know Moses organized the people into these 10 family congregations, and they had ministers, and then they got together with other men. He had the 10s, 50s, 100s, and 1000s. And we know he did that. We know that early Christianity did that all across Europe. But did Abraham do that? I mean, he set up these altars, and those altars were a gathering of friends, not just a gathering of stones. And then he looked at each family as a altar of earth. And we know that that's kind of what he was doing. Wasn't he just burning up sheep? I mean, they had so much fun burning up sheep together. You ever been in a fire where you burn up a sheep? I've been there. Stand back. Get way back. Because you put a whole sheep up there and set it on fire, it's going to explode. I mean, it's literally going to explode. Methane explodes. And it's going to, that sheep's going to swell up from the inside. You're going to see a huge balloon, and it's going to explode. It is not a pretty sight. It doesn't smell good. It smells horrible. And God is not pleased with the smell of it. I can guarantee you that. But if you want to imagine that that's what they were doing, then that's why they were all together. And that's why a whole army of people joined with Abraham when he went to free his nephew from these invaders. If you want to think that they were all bound together because they had burned up a sheep together on a pile of stones, if you want to think that that's really what Abraham was doing, you go right ahead and do that. You know? And then you can decipher your Hebrew calendar and figure out the magic dates that you're supposed to do this. But this is why the early church was saying that, you know, you worry me, you keepers of days. Because you're not moving from the Holy Spirit that Christ came to give us and show us how to get. You're captives by silly women in your imagination. You know, that's what he's talking about. Because you want to put everything, organize everything in your with the knowledge in your head. It isn't about that. I mean, if you could see people that are actually men and women are actually moving from the Holy Spirit, that is a formidable power in the universe. And I say in the universe because it's not only going to be a formidable power in the real world, the fleshly world that you live in. It's going to be a formidable, extremely formidable power in the spiritual realms. And you are walking in the spiritual realms right now. You're unaware of them. You don't see them. There are thousands of troops. If you go to our page on spiritual contracts, I have two pictures there now. They should be there. Actually, I didn't check and see the one uploaded. But there should be two pictures there. And it's like Michael the Archangel is one of them. It's one of these Julius pictures where he's defeating the enemy. That's what they're talking about back there in Isaiah 49:24. He will contend for you in spiritual realms. And literally, armies in the physical realm will turn and flee in fear at the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because their courage comes from dark realms. And the dark realms flee, the armies of the world will flee. They will look at your house and they'll say, we don't need to go in there. Because there's something in there that makes me feel afraid. Because it makes the spirit in them afraid. This army that's coming into Europe and Sweden and Norway and Germany that is just walking into houses and walking into stores and taking what they want. And it's not all refugees, because there are some really good refugees that should be your ally. And you can't tell the difference. And I can tell you the guys that are going to be vetting these guys, they can't tell the difference. They do not have eyes that can see who is the good soul. And who is bringing in darkness. They can't tell. They don't have eyes to see. You probably don't have eyes to see either. You haven't repented yet. Ezekiel 18:5. But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath come near to a menstruating woman. Okay, do you even know what they're talking about there? You know, we talked earlier in the show about all the wives now have to go to work because they're not homemakers anymore. I wondered why I was bringing that up. Here's the reason. Because they're not doing their job. They're out there in the world working, you know, to make parts and be secretaries and run big companies and all this noble, noble stuff. And somebody else is taking care of their kids. Somebody else is raising their children. All those women, they're out there working in the workplace instead of at home with their children, raising the next generation. You've defiled those women. You've made them think that somehow or other, being a homemaker and a mother and a wife to a real man is somehow not a good thing. You've defiled those women. You've come near and perverted their natural being into something that is not meant to be. The natural use. This is what it means, the menstruous woman. People, you know, like, oh, she's got her, you know, we can't go near her, can't touch her, all this kind of stuff. It's nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that you've perverted the use of a woman. A woman is a man with a womb. She is where society is born. And you've perverted that. You know, she becomes the same as you perverted the church. You go there to feel good. And that's why you got this woman, because she makes you feel good. You give her power. You give her stuff. You give her money because she makes you feel good. That's, you've turned her into a whore. That's going near a menstruous woman. That's what that really means. It has nothing to do with anything, you know, in the physical, you know, time of month or any of that stuff. It has to do with the fact that you have perverted the use of the woman. And this is a symbolic way in which to deal with that. But you're all hung up on the symbol instead of the righteousness of creation. You don't even know what you're talking about. You're playing at religion. You're playing at church. Where's your daily ministration? Are you taking care of one another? Are you being moved by love for one another? How much did you give this week, this month, this year, so that others may live? We're going to tell you the secret next on Keys of the Kingdom. The last freedom you have left. We'll be right back.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.